Hello and welcome to Bad Actions. This is Thomas Mack and this is my podcast. I actually get a lot of requests from my listeners to keep it a little less political and focus on good news. And I can't stress it enough, I keep repeating it, but this is called Bad Actions and my focus is exclusively on bad news. Once again, the news is never good, so why would I talk about good news? Because it's not news. Nobody talks about the history of Europe when Genghis Khan wasn't invading and murdering and raping half the population. That part of the Middle Ages is largely forgotten. It's not interesting. So stop asking me for good news. I'm not going to give you any good news. It's all bad. Fortunately, the news is really good. There's some really good bad news going on around today. I mean, World War III is around the corner, and it's pretty funny stuff. Ha ha ha. I mean, you know, we got Putin out there. I always love how the propaganda-y, the war in the East is. I mean, propaganda is, we got our own propaganda here in the United States, but man, they're really good at it in Russia. I keep reading stories on, you know, some mainstream-looking media. Not mainstream. I mean, I never see it in Newsweek or the New York Times, but they're always speculating that Vladimir Putin is dead. You know, that he's died and he's been replaced with a body double. Strangest thing about that bit of propaganda is I don't understand, like, which side is, you know, is Ukraine trying to say that Putin's dead, or is Russia, I'm not good at propaganda to that level where I can just say, oh, well, this is a lie they're telling because they want us to believe, you know, what, I just don't understand. I mean, why are they telling us Putin's dead? And he's clearly not dead, or else, you know, I don't know. Maybe he's dead. Who cares? Well, one person that would care would be Donald Trump, because he has complimented him repeatedly. Putin is Donald Trump's man in the East. He thinks he's great. And as a result, the Republican Party has pivoted towards Putin. We can't, you know, assure that, you know, we're this country that's been invaded by this allied country that's been invaded by Russia, we're going to fund their war anymore, because, hey, you know, Putin's, he's a great guy. Russia's suddenly, you know, after being for decades, most of my lifetime, Russia was like this boogeyman. I mean, literally, the McCarthy witch hunts were to root out communists in the American government and basically to get any agents of Russia to catch them. And it was misguided, but I mean, that's how terrified people in the United States were of Russia. And now all of a sudden, they're great. We love them. Because Putin, he's very similar to Trump in the way that, like, neither of them are particularly Russian, particularly religious. You know, Putin even says, like, he's not Christian, but his mom is. So he has all kinds of pro-Christian policies for mom, I guess. Although I think she's dead and he had a terrible childhood. I don't know why he's so loyal to mom. Trump was also in the news recently. He showed up at a football game, a Clemson, South Carolina game, and was booed, like widely booed. I mean, and then all the Republicans were like, they're saying, boo Trump. But they're saying, look at this. Great, and people are calling him a traitor. They're screaming at him, which reminds me of his old statement where he loves the uneducated. He went to a college football game, and of course he's going to get booed. I mean, these people, it's a crowd full of people who have a college education. So wouldn't you get booed there, Trump? I mean, that's just obvious. Your bedrock in all the polling is like anybody without a college education, anybody that, you know, barely made it through high school, they're hardcore Trumpies. And, you know, of course, not people of color, because, well, really, they're not allowed, you know. So, I mean, I always feel bad for, like, the, you know, Black People for Trump coalition. Like, there's that woman who's going to go to jail, basically. She's in that Atlanta case where, you know, they're busted for trying to overturn the election. You know, they're... And one of them's there's one Black woman, and she's black people in Atlanta for Trump or something along those lines. And those always feel like it's a little humiliating. I mean, I get it. You want to be part of something, but you're not a member of that club. They're happy you're there, But, you know, once they get control, you're off to the concentration camps. I mean, admittedly, there was a small minority in the Coliseum that day, or the football stadium that day, that were happy to see Trump, and they were clapping their hands. I wouldn't say they were as happy as a date, someone who's dating Bobbert. I mean, they're usually pretty happy. They're having a good time. You know, they get to second base before they even get, you know, it's time for the kiss at the end of the date. But, you know, happy. They weren't like reaching for his penis or anything like that. But, you know, happy, regular happy, normal person happy, not Republican far right at a children's show happy, you know. Bobbert, she loves the theater. She even said, you know, she was an enthusiastic fan of Matilda. And that's why her date's hands were all over her boobs. And she put her hand on his joint. I mean, that's, when I see a theater show, I just, you know, if it's good, absolutely, I just start grabbing gonads. I just start, time to fondle somebody. Let's get crazy. And Trump, you know, he's facing 91 charges right now, which is a lot. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Like people say that he ran for president again, primarily to avoid the charges, which seems to have backfired. I mean, I think became clear who's going to run. Everybody's sort of like, there's a lot of prosecutors out there, and I get it. They're people, you know, but they're a little chicken, you know. Let's face it. I'm not saying I'd be brave either, you know. Yeah. I want to be outed and doxed on Breitbart or something like that. You know, generally, everybody just hoped this guy, this fat asshole, he's just going to go away. I think he had his fun, you know, and he made a lot of money while he was president of the United States, turned around his brand. He's just going to fade off. We don't have to indict him. He's going on 80, you know, he'll be dead 10 years and great, fine. And then apparently, you know, a lot of his inner circle said months ago that he decided to run primarily so that he thought that you couldn't be indicted if you're running for president because presidents can't be indicted, but he was wrong. And so once he started running, they were like, oh fuck, he's going to run. I guess we got to indict him. And so they indicted him. It's ruined all their lives, ruins the judges' lives. I'm sure all the jurors, they'll be threatened as well. They'll all have to go into hiding. It's just, you know, because that's how justice works, I guess. You know, like, I mean, I'm glad I don't live in Atlanta because that is a shitty jury duty summons. It's like, honey, I got jury duty. I'm going to be on Trump's jury. And afterwards, we'll have to move to Canada so they don't murder and rape our children. But, it's not a good sign if you're so worried about your presidential candidate that, like, you think you have to murder for him. You know, I don't think anybody should feel like, you know, I vote for people, but I'm, there's never been anybody who's run for president where I thought, yeah, I'll threaten, I'll maim, I'll murder them. I just think that's not democracy, if you ask me. I mean, I think you can get 20 minutes of my time on a Tuesday. It's always a shitty day. It's always raining or sleeting on voting election day. So I always feel good about that. I'm like, at least I'm not missing out on a good bike ride or something like that, or a picnic, you know. If I weren't voting right now, I'd be at work. And if I took the day off work, I'd be having a shitty time because the weather sucks and it's Tuesday, you know. So maybe I'd be getting a haircut. That's about as good as I expect on a Tuesday at 11 o'clock in the morning when I'm usually voting over at the local high school nearby. So anyways, I mean, needless to say, I mean, Trump's base is enthusiastic. They'll vote for him. They'll murder for him. They'll threaten and intimidate. They will commit multiple felonies and go to jail. My favorite one is personally, this is my favorite Trump supporter, is the guy who cried in court at sentencing after, you know, going into getting convicted of going into the Capitol and busting some shit up. I can't even remember what he did, but he cried and cried and cried. It's like begging for mercy. And then he got like something like, I don't know, 5 years, something like that. That's some shit, man. And so then once he got his sentence, he turned to the audience and said, Trump won. Oh, well, that'll show him. I think that was good for the judge, at least because he was probably feeling pretty bad. He was like, this guy's bawling, he's crying. Oh, man, I feel bad. I'm locking this fucker up. And then he turns around and is like, shows what an asshole he is. And so he's like, all right, fuck you. See you later, you know. But anywho. So, you know, there's lots of bad news. Like I was saying, you know, we have the ongoing war in Ukraine, which, you know, everybody's like, will it become World War III? I'm not sure. Let's see. It's you know, hopefully not. You know, I'm not saying I want it to become World War III, but fuck. And a little scary. It's also bad news for superpowers because Russia, I still think, is a military superpower. Man, they're getting their asses kicked. I mean, everybody was projecting this war would last about 2 weeks. Some military experts went on CNN and dozens of them were just like, well, this will be over by a week from Thursday, I think. And now it's like over a year later and Russia's basically just gotten like a couple, you know, shitty counties and right on the border and can't seem to advance very well. But and now we have a new war, civil war in Israel. You know, the thing about Israel, you know, in Ukraine, it's pretty easy to see how that conflict will end one way or another. The thing in Israel, where's that going? You know, I saw some reports that like there's been interviews with members or leadership of Hamas, and some of the reporters were a little surprised. They were like, these guys didn't really have a long-term plan. They just decided to do this badass invasion. They got some, you know, kite planes and some boats and some jeeps and got all the guns they could and started firing rockets. And they ran into Israel and then didn't really have any end game, which is a little surprising, you know, the thing. And then Netanyahu, Hamas even made the announcement afterwards, like, they didn't really expect to get to go back home, largely. I mean, they thought they'd be, basically, they used up all the bullets and they went back to the Gaza Strip because Netanyahu is a shitty president. He's bad at it. He's been like in the craw and Israel, half the country's hated him since, and he barely was able to pull together a coalition. He's this far right wing nut job who wants to become Israeli dictator. You know, he passed all, you know, he gets into the leadership in Israel and, what should we do? We have this, we have the West Bank, we got the Gaza Strip, we got this Palestinian question. Oh, I know. Let's do judicial reforms. Judicial reforms, that's exactly what we should be doing. Well, anyways, while he was stripping the courts of their rights, a bunch of loosely trained terroristy kind of guys from a Gaza Strip, which is one of the poorest places on the planet, were able to murder, you know, 1,500 Israelis, terrorize people at a music festival. Just awful, you know, murder children, take over 200 hostages, behead a German woman after stripping her and parading her around in a jeep. Apparently, they say that they're all high on this cheap amphetamine, like Middle Eastern crank or something like that. They get all hopped up on that and go out of their minds. It's extremely sad. And, you know, with Hamas on one side and Benjamin Netanyahu on the other side, it's hard to imagine. I mean, you'd need a Nelson Mandela type leader to be able to take on a situation like this. And they ain't got him, you know. And, you know, so, for decades, people have been saying, well, how, you know, and they always look to America like, America's got to solve the Israeli question. I think, you know, we can help, but I mean, it's a civil war, and I don't see any end in sight. I mean, if I lived in that country and I was on either side, if I was a Palestinian or an Israeli, I wouldn't want to live with the other. You know, it just, it's gotten so bad again after it cooled off for a couple of decades. Thanks, Netanyahu, for, I mean, let's imagine the situation. Let's imagine an alternative reality show right now. And Hamas had planned this out, and they bought all their little wing planes, their paragliders that they used to invade a music festival, and they lined up on the border. And instead of what happened, which was they gained access to Israel basically unfettered and killed and bombed and just did awful atrocities to the Israelis, who certainly 99% of the ones that got killed were completely innocent, just civilians, you know, just a horror story. You can't even imagine something that shocking and terrifying happening to you. It truly is like the 9/11 of Israel. And let's say this operation launches, and instead of what happens, Israel's prepared because Netanyahu's not a total idiot and asshole, and he's been surveilling the Gaza Strip and Hamas, and also just generally has military ready at the border. So when these guys fly over the border in these flimsy aircraft, there's some Israeli guys, and they shoot these guys out of the sky. And yeah, it's unfortunate. We don't like to see that happen. But, you know, and instead of 1,500 civilians, you know, maybe a couple dozen military people, maybe on either side, some Israeli people, soldiers get killed, some Hamas guys get killed and run back to the Gaza Strip, and then that's it. Can you imagine that? I mean, what a great thing that would have been. You know, because suddenly Israel doesn't have to bomb Gaza Strip back into the Stone Ages, and there doesn't have to be this massive civil war that will, I don't know how it ends. I always fantasize that I'm a pretty smart guy. I look at like the Ukraine, and I can see, I know how this works out. You know, yeah, you know, they got to run Russia out of there. We got to give them all the weapons we can, and this is great. I mean, we don't have any American foot soldiers on the ground, and Christ, I mean, I think Ukraine has a good chance of winning this thing. That's pretty easy. With Israel, it's like, I don't know how this is supposed to, there, I don't see any happy ending there anytime soon. It just looks bad. And again, I mean, I think a week before Hamas attacked, Saudi Arabia had made the announcement, or it was leaked in the media that Saudi Arabia was going to acknowledge that Israel has a right to exist, which sounds crazy, but that's big news because there are no Middle Eastern or Muslim countries that say that Israel should exist. So I mean, it's like things are going great, and then thanks, Netanyahu. Thanks so much for just being such an idiot and such an asshole and just letting this happen. There's a lot of speculation that his days are numbered as the leader of Israel. The population of Israel is hep to this fact that this all happened on his watch and seems to be largely Benjamin Netanyahu's fault. And he'll be run out of, you gotta hope. you know, generally, you know, people, there's a lot of anti-Semitism, but generally Jewish people are, if you're bigoted, you think they're frighteningly competent. And that's really, well, that's one thing that, the only good thing you can say about this whole Netanyahu fiasco is that he goes against the stereotypes of Jewish people that, you know, they're too competent for their own good. He's woefully incompetent. Totally incompetent, has no way, shape, or form should he be a world leader anywhere. He should be in a retirement home in like Miami, like tens of thousands of others, other Jewish people, living happily in flip flops and crazy looking shorts, and drinking some margaritas. I don't think he can go there anymore. I mean, I think his time is done. Well, anyways, I'm glad you took the time to stop by. This is a bit of an abbreviated show, but this is Thomas Mackey, and this is Bad Actions.